got a plan. See the teeny tiny traveling folk band.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Flat Nickel Podcast. I'm your host, Hannah Nawa, joined by my always producer and occasional co-host, Mr. Sam Fritz.
Good morning.
It is a very groggy morning for the two of us. We were up very late last night playing card games.
And the night before.
But today's episode is with Scott and Mallory of the Rough and Tumble. Amazing musicians and very good friends of ours. We drove out to Mallory's parents' house to sit down with them in their living room and just had an amazing conversation with them. It occurred to me during the interview that I had not seen them in almost a year and a half, a very long time, way too long, because they are incredible people and just such a joy to be able to sit down with. How did you feel this interview went?
This interview to me was equal parts good answers and good sense of humor, because they gave us plenty of detail on what they had going on, what they're about, you know, their act. But also, I think especially Mallory, she was always quick with a little joke. Especially about what they named their camper when it's not doing a good job. Although I guess we never really do figure that name out, do we? We shouldn't lie to the listeners and make it seem like they're going to figure out what they named the camper.
Well, when it's good, its name is Dave.
Right.
When it's bad, we have no idea.
That name is illegal.
Top secret. And we also had a great time riffing about Meteor Day, which apparently really rocks.
This interview has a little bit of a discussion over infamous holidays.
Well, not infamous, just lesser known and unappreciated.
Is that not synonymous with infamous?
No, infamous means that you're famous for a bad reason.
Oh, no. All right, yes, lesser known holidays. Not much of a set the scene this week. We were in a parent's living room, which was, I mean, fun.
Lots of family photos.
Yeah, family photos surrounding us and their dog, Puddle, I believe was his name.
Puddle.
Or her name.
Puddle is a girl.
Yeah. Puddle asleep on the ground next to us pretty much the whole time. A couple of kids playing outside. And one thing that you may hear leaking into the interview is a weed whacker or some sort of motorized instrument. Now, I did my best to have it so that it seems completely out of the interview, and I think I got most of it. But just in case you hear like an engine roaring in the background, that's what it is.
Yeah, that was an outside noise, not a weed whacker on the inside. Didn't need to disclaim that, but it's early in the morning, so I just kind of felt like it. That being said, let's go ahead and hop into this interview.
I have to be honest, I don't know what dabbing is. I just like nodded my head because
I kind of did the same thing because I didn't want to seem as out of the know as Scott is.
So there was a song, a rapper did a song where the chorus was blank, look at my dab, and this is a dab. And so
I thought it was like some sort of military heist thing, but I see it's fun.
For the most part, it's just a dance move now, but the origin story of it is when people smoke a substance that is not federally legal and you cough. That's what you're doing.
You're dabbing. Yeah. I get it.
Oh, well, I didn't
that's
know that
marijuana.
Either.
Yes, yeah, that's
got it.
It's not crack. I guess maybe I shouldn't have kept it in.
For the sake of the FBI agent that is in charge of ruining Sam's Senate career.
Yeah, right. Can't run for Senate 135.
Yeah, that's been a running joke as Sam's decided he might want to run for Senate. But we say things in conversation, just in the car or on the phone or whatever, that he acknowledges, like, to the FBI agent monitoring this call.
I'm not that paranoid of a person. It's just a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just wait till you dab
or
in the
is
wrong.
It dabble.
Right.
Dab in the wrong district.
Yeah, thank you. There it is.
I was quite proud of that.
That's some alliteration.
All right. Well, let me pull up my...
Well, I was going to say, let's have them do an introduction
case first. Stones.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. Well, It's for the people at home who are unfamiliar with you guys.
Who
are
we?
Introduce yourself. Yeah, what do you do?
My name is Mallory Graham.
I'm Scott Tyler.
And we are the Rough and Tumble. We are a teeny tiny traveling folk band.
Mm-hmm. We've been doing this for about 7 years. About 3.5 years ago, we moved into a camper, a 16-foot camper, to do this full time. We live in there with our little 85-pound dog, Mud Puddle, mm-hmm. and tour all over the United States.
And instrument-wise, I know both of you do vocals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instrument-wise, what do you guys play?
I play guitar. I have a little suitcase that I use as a kick drum and a mailbox that I use as a snare. Mallory, I'll let you take
that.
Take
is so that nice one. Of you. Thank yeah, you, Scott. I play the accordion and the bells and some shakers and the banjolele and things that people give us from their garage sale.
Yeah. A coffee tin.
Mm-hmm. My mom gave me that. That was not a garage sale item.
Snare drum.
Now, for the listeners at home, and not for me at all, because I know what a banjolele is, but what's a banjolele?
Oh, a banjolele is a, it's like dabbing, really. it is a half ukulele, half banjo. It has the body of a banjo, like a mini banjo, but it plays like a ukulele.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's like you can learn to play the ukulele, which is really easy, and then pretend you know how to play the banjo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a banjola is?
I mean, clearly I've got the banjo part of this, the ola. I'm trying to think.
I don't even remember, but we have one hanging in my living room.
Well, yeah, it's your dad. His big.
Is it a mandolin?
Yeah,
a banjo?
Or it's like a.
I would think it would be a viola. A viola.
I thought it was just like a baritone.
It has like a
banjo
frame of a mandolin. The ola.
I didn't know that.
Maybe I'm...
Yeah, this is where we call my dad, and we're like, hey.
It's half banjo, half ravioli. Got
yeah.
it.
Yes. The Italian banjo.
The Italian banjo.
Is this way.
Do you have a question?
Oh, yes, I do. Okay.
I didn't want to deviate too much.
Oh, you know what? That's...
Because I said ravioli.
Oh, no, nothing to do with you guys. I didn't want to be... I asked the question about the banjola.
The disclaimer that I've been giving people in the beginning of these interviews is that the whole purpose of this is to have just a good conversation about what it's like to be a musician.
Yeah,
so if we deviate for the we deviate from the questions, if you know we go off topic, if there's something in particular that you want to go on a tangent about or talk about, like don't feel bad. Yes,
okay.
Rants are highly encouraged. Oh,
just you wait.
Just less about ravioli and dabbing.
Okay.
Not those rants. I mean, those rants too, but maybe not about dabbing.
Do like ravioli.
That's just personal.
That apparently is not a military heist.
Got it.
So you said 3 years. Well, 3 years ago you moved into the camper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're in our fourth year now.
At what point did you decide to do music full time?
Yeah. At what point did we regret our lives? Got it.
Yeah.
So what? It was 3 years ago, right? So it was a little more than 3 years ago. We sort of fell into it. We were doing both. So we were touring for a couple weeks at a time and going out every weekend and then coming back. We were living in Nashville at the time. We were going back to our house and then working various jobs during the week and then leaving again. So basically we were working day jobs to pay for our music habit. And then at a certain point, our landlord left us without heat for about 12 days. During an ice storm, and we decided, forget it, we're out of here.
Yeah, it just wasn't worth it at that point. And so
we kind of thought about it. I guess we'd started talking about it like a year before we actually hit the road. We were like, hey, we should think about, like, put it out into the universe that somebody, you know, if somebody has an extra camper or something, we could do that. But then we like put it out into the universe, which just means posting it on Facebook. Does anyone want to give us a free camper? And surprisingly, nobody took the bait.
Yeah.
And so we had to kind of take the plunge ourselves, which was better.
Yeah, it was.
But if somebody wants to give us a free camper, that's still on the table.
Yeah.
We can triple toe.
Right.
What was the mental process like as you guys, like, I'm slowly but surely, because you said it was over the process of a year,
mm-hmm.
like, mentally, where were you guys at that really started making you consider pulling the trigger of doing it? Like, I want to know what kind of was going on in your minds to lead to the decision.
Oh yeah, nothing was going on in my brain.
Yeah,
it was the 12 days without
everything
heat.
Off. Yeah, it kind of was. It kind of was just being cold. and feeling kicked out of our house. Like Nashville's getting, I mean, you know, Nashville's huge now. And when we first moved there, it was a cool town, but it wasn't like it is now. And we were starting to feel pushed out anyway. Mm-hmm. Like over that year, we were starting to feel pushed out.
Yeah, and you know, it made sense. Like we were starting to tour, you know, across country. We just had gotten back from South Dakota, mm-hmm. you know, a few months before, and we were
starting to feel guilty about asking for so much time off from our bosses mm-hmm. too.
We maybe didn't like our work as much as, you know, used to.
I liked my work still. Yeah. I was a nanny and it was really fun, but Scott maybe didn't like
maybe
his work
didn't
as
like
much.
It so much. But and so we just kind of decided, let's do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that's the thing is, I really do. Once we actually made the decision, I think we did have to shut down all sensibility. Like we had to shut down even like what our parents were saying or even what our friends were saying, like, are you sure? Like we have people who are longtime supporters, still are, of us from our very beginning, the Scarboroughs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we told them our idea, they're like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't just give up everything. Maybe you should like maybe dab your toe in it first. And we were like, nope. We're just
going all in.
We're going to do it. We're going to go all in. And we kind of had to shut down everything to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like what you do anytime you do something brave or stupid.
Mm-hmm.
When you decided you were going to go, did you sell all your stuff? Did you put in a storage unit? Did you leave it with friends? Yeah. Like,
we sold most of it. It was a glorious yard mm-hmm. sale.
We gave some away. Like the stuff that we just couldn't part with, we stored at Mallory's sister's house.
Yeah. So like my high school yearbooks there.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't take that with us.
I know. I look at it every day.
But yeah, just, you know, we've got a few boxes, you know, and it felt great to just like pare down what we owned and what we were responsible to keep around, you know. Yeah. There's something that happens, you know, when you graduate from college, you move into a place and then you just start, you know, I just started doing what my parents did, which was, you know, put it in a box and then put that box somewhere and then put another box on top of that. And so I just had a whole bunch of stuff that I never used. And
then we got rid of it.
Yeah. And it felt great.
We didn't regret much of it either. Like once we got out there, we were worried that like we were going to regret certain things. The only thing I regret is getting rid of that pair of green pants. They were so cool.
They were so cool.
But they were impractical. I only wore them once a year, but man, was it worth it.
What kind, this is going to be a tangent, what kind of green pants?
They're
are we talking
corduroys.
Corduroys? Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if we were talking about like green denim, if we were talking about green leather.
No, they were green corduroy. And truthfully, they were like the low cut ones too. Mm. I wouldn't even wear them anymore.
Yep.
I'm more into like the granny height.
Yep,
now.
That's how I just keep everything in.
Keep
it all tucked in.
Yeah, so it's for the best.
I know you guys like to stay at camp, you stay at campgrounds a lot.
Occasionally,
when you have days off.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not playing, when you have those sort of gaps, I think you just had a little bit of a gap in Ohio mm-hmm. a couple days. Where are you staying? Do you find family and friends that you're staying with? Are you, I mean, we're at your parents' house right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are, at my mom and dad's house.
But normally, you know, when you're out in South Dakota and you have 2 days off, where are you staying?
We stay as often as we can anywhere that's free. So we'll park in, like sometimes park out in South Dakota. It's really awesome because you can stay in a lot of like public land without having to have a permit. And so we have a certain parking lot, which we will not disclose the location
that's
of.
Right.
That's in the that's in the middle of the Black Hills. And when you wake up, you're overlooking this giant reservoir and it's beautiful. Like it's unbelievable. So we have a few places like that around the country that we stay. We mostly stay with friends and family. Like last week we spent a week in Ohio at a friend's house. This week and next week we're actually staying in my parents' driveway. So we try and stay for free as often as we can. Mm-hmm.
Which means that we stay at a lot of Walmarts, a lot of rest stops, Cracker Barrels, Cobellas.
I wasn't gonna tell them about the more glorious stuff.
Yeah.
Have you had any weird experiences with staying overnight in certain places?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of people, you know, suddenly their camper's rocking, or my dad just when he took the Barons on tour,
he
made an effort to find places to stay, and a lot of times it was Love's truck stops because they had the huge motorhome and then a trailer behind that.
Yeah.
But do you guys have any weird things?
We have lots of weird things. Like, try to narrow it down, I guess. Yeah. But that guy in Florida still freaks me out.
Yeah, there was just this guy who was really... It felt like he was kind of casing the joint, you know? He was, like, wandering around, and he asked us...
But we didn't see him until he approached our camp. It was dark, and our screen door was the only thing that was blocking us from the outside. I told you we should have closed that.
Well, it was really hot.
It was really hot. And then, like, Scott went to go and shut the big door, and this guy is just standing there. And he's like, hey, how's it going? Nice camper you got here. And then just kind of...
Asked us so many questions about the camper.
It made me feel so weird.
So weird.
That was kind of weird. He said that he was just in a hard time and that he used to be a psychologist.
That's right.
Probably could have gotten some free therapy.
Yeah. We should have invited him in. Next time.
No.
Spoiler alert, Scott and Mallory actually goes. They were invited to Savannah, Florida.
But that was, that was a weird one. But we've also had some really, like, kind of nice experiences. And we're, like, we were coming out of... Mankato, Minnesota one night, and it started hailing and storming, and it was really horrible to the point where we couldn't drive any further. So we pulled into this rest stop, and the camper was just shaking and rocking, and we were freaking out, and the dog was freaking out. And then all of a sudden these two trucks pulled in and parked a couple spots away, and I think saw our camper, backed up, and then reparked on either side of us to block us from the wind. Mm-hmm. And so it was like this really, like, kind... So we've had really weird experiences, but we've also had, like, some strangely kind things happen to us.
Yeah, and things that that we wouldn't have understood if we didn't live, you know, out of a camper. Like, like that's not something that I would ever thought, you know, people would need. You know, like that wasn't like this nice thing that I was thinking about before.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I lived there. So.
Does the camper have a name?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It depends on if it's acting right. If it's, like, doing a really good job of being, like, a together camper, we call it Dave. Because our buddy Dave Coleman, it's a Coleman camper, and our buddy Dave Coleman, who produced our last record, he's a really nice and together guy. And so when the camper's acting right, we call it Dave.
Yeah.
Like Dave Coleman.
A lot of the time, though, it's just the camper.
Or campy.
Sometimes it's campy. That is a term of endearment. If it's feeling flirtatious.
Yeah. Wait, but you said if it's good. What if it's bad?
If it's bad, it's, I don't know what your podcast is.
You're allowed to. Yeah. I'll mark it explicit so iTunes knows.
You can just fill in the blank.
Yeah.
It's... Some creative word.
I mean, if it's a swear riddle rant, then maybe I'll be like,
that's too much.
You know, a word I knew there. All those
It might be a little too much for sailors. We'll leave that one out.
our podcast, our audience is mostly sailors. So.
Okay, great. Probably
good choice. We got a lot of salty dogs listening to this podcast.
Have you seen my salty dog dress at work?
No.
I have a little tiny, like, retro style dress that has a bunch of sea dogs on it. It's dogs inside of lifesavers.
Oh, that is so cute.
Oh, that's adorable.
Oh, dog
and
stuff.
I call it the salty dog dress. It does look a little bit like puddle.
The pud.
That was a nice long pause of us gazing at the dog and appreciating the napping giant dog on the floor.
That's what she does. She's kind of our networker.
Is she full grown yet?
We think so. We're not.
There might
totally
be a surprise.
There might be a surprise. She's about 2.5, but she was a rescue, and she was underweight whenever she was picked up out of the woods. So she might still surprise us.
Did somebody just say, like, hey, do you want a dog? Did you find?
Yeah, we were actually up in South Dakota when it happened. I had this dream that we were going to get a second dog. We had our other dog, Butter, and who just passed away in November. But I had woken up from a dream in South Dakota where our camper was broken. And we, I won't tell you what we called it that time either, but I woke up from a dream and I told Scott, I was like, I just dreamed we got a second dog before the end of the year. And he was like, okay, sure. And I was like, okay. And then, somebody notified us by the end of the day. It was like
30 minutes later.
And they tagged us on Facebook and they're like, are you looking for another dog? We just found this one in the woods. If you're going to be in Huntsville, Alabama in a month. And I looked at the calendar and exactly 1 month we were going to be in Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh my gosh.
That's where Puddle is waiting for us.
That is magic on the road.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
That's what we should have named this podcast. Magic on the road.
It's not too late to rebrand.
Yeah. Well, I like what we're doing now. I don't know what our logo would be for Magic on the Road. Just a like, wizard in a camper.
Right, exactly.
The best ideas. So you guys are, if I remember correctly from the first time that I met you, married.
We are.
We are. Yeah. Now we are. Yeah.
We weren't originally.
Yeah.
Now you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're no longer camping in sin.
That's right. I can sleep on the, like, I don't have to sleep on top of the covers anymore.
Yeah. It used to be, I would have to be under the covers.
And I'd have to be on.
Just
on
to top. Keep things yeah. on the up and up.
That's right.
That's not true.
Yeah. one of the things I like to, we've interviewed a lot of married couples.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll.
Third?
We'll continue to do because most of the people that I'm friends with are married musicians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Brittany and Andrew Carter being the people who I keep trying to get a hold of and pin down, but okay. they're constantly in North Carolina, which is a little far away from us. This is what it is. but do you think it's easier? I guess you guys have experience touring both as a married couple mm-hmm. and not as a married couple.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Is it easier that you guys are married? Was the test of touring something that was kind of the sign of like, well, I guess we can just go ahead and pin this down?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, I think it's easier.
I don't know that there's a different... Well, maybe there's... The reason we got married was actually because we lived on the road. Like, there was... Well, and because
and
we
love
each other. Yes, but there was this element of, like, legality, too. Like, we actually saw a car accident happen in front of us, and we were like, oh, man. Like, the way that some laws work, you know, you can't... I wouldn't be able to visit you in the ER. Like, we wanted to... It was almost like this very practical thing. Like, we should get married to make sure that everything, like, is set, you know, whenever we inevitably die in a fiery crash,
a fiery
I guess.
Crash.
But
yeah, that's what we were thinking.
When Dave gives in.
But I think it is. I guess that's like being married means that if Scott leaves me in a parking lot someday, I'll be able to track him down. He's here mm-hmm. legally.
Legally, yeah. Absolutely.
So that's good.
I'm not going to leave you in a parking lot.
In the Walmart is going to be better.
So, yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Where the air conditioner
is. Yeah. I got to learn to back that thing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah but I do think it's easier. It's nice to, it's great to have your partner on the road. It's really, our touring life feels like, it feels like home. Mm-hmm. All the time. It feels like tour all the time. It also feels like this never-ending vacation, which is still really fun.
Does it feel like a never-ending vacation?
I think the never-ending part is the part that it...
So, that it like, vacations like. Are good except when they're never-ending.
Except when they're never-ending, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll accept it.
That's a win.
Yeah.
It's a win for Scott.
Yeah.
Touring,
yeah,
constantly, mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. Did you used to like winter in Nashville after you went back on the road? Did that
sure.
happen at one point?
It did. Well, kind of. We stayed with my sister in my sister's driveway for a month or two at a time when it got real cold. Also, when Christmas comes around, like we try to book shows around Christmas, but nobody wants to go to shows at Christmas time.
This is not what my follow-up question was going to
be.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
But in a turn of events.
Yeah.
Speaking of Christmas,
uh-huh.
I heard a rumor that you guys wrote an album about some less recognized holidays.
Yes, we did. It's called The Rough and Tumbles.
How did you hear that?
yeah, we've been trying to promote this for years now. How did you hear about it? Yeah, it's called The Rough and Tumbles Holiday Awareness Campaign, and originally we released it song by song, holiday by holiday, in 2013, and it's this really fun project where we chose 24 underappreciated holidays and wrote 24 underappreciated songs for them. And so we That's put it together. I love that joke. That is always my introduction.
Is there now an underappreciated holiday? Do you celebrate the underappreciated holidays? Do you recognize when they come around? Are you appreciating the underappreciated holidays?
Actually, tomorrow is one of our favorites, I believe. Right, June 26th?
Are you thinking of Meteor Day?
Meteor Day.
June 30th.
June 30th. Mm-hmm. Coming right up on June 30th. You see, and that's why we have the campaign.
That's true. Because, mm-hmm.
Because even we wrote the songs.
Can't remember what day it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Meteor Day is really fun.
Tell us about it, Scott.
Well, usually you have drinks served on the rocks.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the parties are great. Usually, somebody goes extinct by the end of the party.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea we were launching into a stand-up.
Oh, we are.
I'm now being brought into this.
Meteor Day really rocks.
There you go.
I was gonna say, do you guys go to a lot of rock concerts on Meteor Day?
Oh, see, that would have been so much better. Yeah. That would have been so much better.
It's like the one night of the year that we get to play in a rock band.
Dab on Meteor Day? Because we're blazing. Because fire.
Oh, I get it.
And that's another drug reference. We're not really into that. It's just we're bad at it, clearly.
It's just about pop culture.
Yeah.
We're also a little bit bad at celebrating holidays, so no, we usually do not celebrate them. But we'll think about them throughout the year and
usually after they've passed, you go, oh, we should have celebrated.
Shoot, we should have done something for that.
Posted about that.
If you're really looking for, if you want a sequel to that album where you really push yourselves again, of the 365 days in a year, each day has something assigned to it. Something.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Some kind of awareness day or nacho day. So if you wanted to, 365 songs are right there at your fingertips.
Oh, man. It did cross our mind. When we were in the thick of it, I remember saying, we could release another one in another couple of years.
I remember you saying that.
And you said no. By the look on your face.
and then we just went on to something else. And it's probably more fun that way. But it's like when Sufjan Stevens announced that he was going to write an album for every 50 states. And then he was going to write an album. And then he got done with what? I think he did two. And then he just, no, that was a gimmick. Like, of course I wasn't going to do that.
I feel like an album's a bit of a stretch. Like a single, go for it. But an album for each state, like, they're not that special.
Yeah. We'll pick up the slack.
There you go. That's your next project.
Project. Next project, yeah.
What is your next project? I don't know if I can talk about this. Are you doing a children's album?
The microphone's still picking you up.
Yeah. We have a couple of things in the mix, actually. Okay. Yeah, so, and we're not ashamed to talk about it. We're not sure where we're heading next. We are tinkering with a children's album a little bit. We were starting to write a little bit with our friend up in Michigan. We've also been kind of tampering with some fun other lullabies, like darker lullabies. Oh, yes. Which we're thinking about pursuing more.
Yeah,
we also have enough songs right now that we're probably going to try and release another record by next year.
Mm-hmm.
Or not a full record, but an EP at least. Mm-hmm. We have a few things in the works.
Is the stuff that I'm getting in the mail from you guys from a band camp? Not band camp, but Kickstarter.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the stuff that you are wishing did not come in the mail.
Oh, I love it. We get lots of great postcards in the mail. That, you know how our fridge is all just postcards.
Yes! Oh, I love that. That is
is all from them on tour, and yes, part of their benefits or the rewards from their Kickstarter campaign
you get a postcard a week for a year. And so we actually have four different people we write to a week, which is kind of awesome. Yeah,
is that all?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds like it's probably a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be like you're writing 50 postcards.
Yeah, right.
This is going to get expensive.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of the thing. And it is kind of time consuming, like more than we thought it would be. But it's also just still the right amount of people. And they're all actually people we like. So it helps.
I also just like that you guys probably have the best rewards out of a Kickstarter that I've ever seen.
Oh, man. Thanks.
So was that something that you intentionally were like, well, what when you were coming up with your rewards, a lot of people, it's like, oh yeah, you'll get a CD and a t-shirt. Like, sure. You have really unique things. There's a piece of art that's going, I'm taking home to my parents as a Kickstarter reward. Yeah. What were you guys thinking?
We were thinking, what's something that we would like to do? Kind of. I think instead of looking at it as like, what are people really going to like that's going to be super cool but going to be annoying for us to do? We're not really into like make something super cool thing. We're more like the make something that we would enjoy making, because I think people can pick that up. I think people pick up when you're enjoying yourself, like whether that's on stage or even in conversations, like you can sense when someone else is having a good time. And so we wanted to make things that were kind of on our list anyway to yeah. make, like that we've had like long dreams of making. That sounds really lame when I say it like that, but so it was all stuff we wanted to do.
I have a very great cookbook from you guys.
Yes, yeah. Have you been enjoying it?
I know. I kind of want to do as we start with making more content around the podcast, yeah. I'd love to do little snippets of like making people's recipes of the artists that we've made, because oh, cool. yeah. I love cooking.
Yes.
And I would be like, and you guys, they did a cookbook. They mm-hmm. did all of their recipes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They explained sort of their dietary restrictions and how they're able to function without on the road. Mm-hmm. There's, it's a cook and coloring book.
Yeah.
Which this is the second band that we've interviewed that has done a coloring book.
Oh, cool.
Oh, really?
Pocket Vinyl did a coloring book, which is called The Bad News Bear.
Bearer
of bad news. Yes, and it is a bear that is getting a lot of bad news.
Oh, that's not so getting it. It's giving the bad news.
Is it? Bearer yes. of bad news.
Trust me. Okay.
I made him buy one.
You didn't make me. I bought it because I wanted to. one of the pages is about social media, and it says, like, none of your followers care what you're doing. And then the bear is physically saying that. And then on the other page, it just says, trust me, they don't. Like,
it's, yeah, that sort of thing. It's so that clever.
Very much. It's weird because the bear obviously is not letting you down gently, but like because it's a bear, you just take it on the cheek. You know.
Yeah.
Oh,
that is so cute.
Is this Kickstarter campaign that you guys did? Was it the first one you did? Have you done several before?
No, we've only done one before, and that was actually for the holiday awareness campaign, and that was in 2013.
2013.
We did our first Kickstarter campaign And then we waited. We've always been really cautious with crowdfunding, and other bands do it frequently, and they're fine, and they
develop great relationships with their patrons mm-hmm. and stuff.
But we've always been really cautious about it. Just, I don't know. I'm not even sure what our hang-up was. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to ask for money, but it's easier when you reframe it as, here's a product that we feel like we want to make bigger than we have the ability to do, and you're going to benefit from it, you know? And mm-hmm. and up to this point, we haven't had a project, not that we didn't feel like was worthy, but just that it wasn't going to cost us a lot of money to do, right. to make it better. Like it kind of stood alone.
Yeah. So this Kickstarter was for this album that we just put out called We Made Ourselves a Home When We Didn't Know. And
good plug.
Thank you. I've been working on that transition there. I've just been sitting here quietly.
Did you write it on your
thinking
hand?
About how I was going so cool. to bring that up. So it's called We Made Ourselves a Home When We Didn't Know. And it's 13 songs that we recorded in Nashville. And we have a full band on
most of it.
On most of it. We worked with this great producer, our friend
Dave Coleman.
Yeah, our camper's namesake, Dave Coleman. is just a phenomenal guitarist and producer and engineer yeah. and does some really good stuff. And but there are 13 songs that we felt really proud about. And we wanted to, like, it felt like a real album. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's...
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
It felt substantial.
It felt substantial. Yeah. And we also had a lot of things, because it's a record about home. We've had all of these, like the Cook and Color book, like we did hand-printed tea towels and oven mitts and stuff like that. And so these were merch ideas that we have been thinking about for years, but they didn't make sense. Like, we are already so scattered with what the things that we want to do that we were like, we don't want to throw a cook and color book and tea towels into the mix when we're trying to celebrate holidays here. Mm-hmm. So, or, you know, whatever other EPs that we had at the time. But this one, as we were coming up to it, we realized that like all of these merchandise ideas and like fun projects that we'd been thinking about for all of these years finally came to a head, like sort of seamlessly mm-hmm. with this record. And then we were like, wow, it like synchronicity, it's happening.
Yeah.
Oh shoot, we can't pay for that, you know. So all at once. And then and that's when we decided to do the Kickstarter.
What are you guys doing for merch right now? I just wore my t-shirt the other day.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we have a little puddle t-shirt, and we have CDs.
Mm-hmm. We have posters.
We have postcards, which are mm-hmm. always free. Since we started this band, we have had free postcards at our table, and it's part of the Rough and Tumble Save the U.S. Postal Service campaign. And if people fill out an address at our shows and put it back in our tiny mailbox, then we pay for their postage for them. So it just also happens to have our website on it.
Yeah. Whoops.
Whoops. And
we have kazoos that a very generous purchase for us.
Please do go on.
Yeah.
They are actually really fun too. Yeah. But we do have to have a disclaimer. One, a you lick it, you buy it policy at our shows. But also the disclaimer of you may purchase one at intermission, but you are not permitted to play it until we say so.
Right.
So
that, yeah, there have been a couple nights where the kazoos will you know, after the intermission, we'll just hear so many kazoos that we have to like take a moment and say, okay, let's get this out of your system. Let's take 10 seconds and just everybody can blow plays on their kazoo.
Yeah.
Hum into your yeah. kazoo.
Yeah. We're surprised. I am surprised actually how many people don't know how to play a kazoo. They'll get really excited. They'll buy a kazoo from us and then they'll just pick it up and blow in it. They'll be like, I'm sorry, this one's broken. I'm like, no, that's not how a kazoo works, which was kind of interesting.
I mean, kids always understand how it works.
Yeah, for some reason, kids always know, but the adults never seem to.
Right. It's just something that we forget as we get older.
I really genuinely hope that you are the only band that I ever interview that has a you lick it, you buy it.
If we ever find a band selling like ice cream bars, they might also have that same.
Yeah, that's right. True. Right.
How do you talk that was that, just the first thing in my head. I'm like, I don't ever want to hear a band have that policy again, because there is no context in which that is okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's actually applicable to all of our merchandise. You know? Yeah. All of it.
I mean, fair. Yeah. If you lick it, you buy it. Yeah. Like, nobody wants a pre-licked CD.
Yeah.
It is kind of crazy how I feel like it's implied with things that you wouldn't generally put your mouth up to, but with a kazoo, you're like, oh, I need to test this out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Yeah. Well, and it happened like the first day that we had those.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Some like an older gentleman came mm-hmm. up and he just grabbed one and he just started like trying to play mm-hmm. it. He put it back. He's like, that one's broken. Grabbed another one. I was like, oh no!
No, you can't just put your mouth on these.
No, you can't do that.
How do you disinfect it?
We didn't disinfect it. We just gave it away.
Yeah.
The universe.
There you go, universe.
We're talking about touring. Mm-hmm. I do want to ask, are there any deal breakers when you guys are booking shows?
Good question.
Ooh.
What is the not playing that gig?
We try not to take 3-hour gigs anymore. Yeah. When we first started,
we still do. Yeah, but we try on occasion. Not to.
When we first started, those were like the only gigs that we could get, you mm-hmm. know, bar gigs that are 3 hours
long. 3 hours. We'll pay $50 and pizza and beer.
Yeah. And so we try not to do that. We don't play longer than 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because it's like, and I think we're in a really peculiar, I mean, not terribly peculiar. There's lots of other people doing what we do. But and I know that we should be able to like have the stamina to sing for 3 to 5 hours if we were really treating our instruments correctly. But we also are living on the road and our bodies wear out really fast. And so we try not to, we can't we can, but we choose not to, like, play the shows that are super long just because it wears us out too fast. Mm-hmm. And then we don't play as well for those other gigs that are more intimate and more worthwhile for us, right, you know, to listening audiences as opposed to people who are just yelling over us the whole night anyway. Yeah. So,
yeah, we also try and only book places that where we would want to go to a show, you know, if it's some sleazy bar or something, you know, we don't want to invite our fans there. And,
yeah,
you know, there's...
Well, except for our sleazy fans.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, except for our sleazy fans. but I think there came this point where we realized, oh, people are actually coming out to see us.
And we want to be seen here.
Right.
Kind of, yeah.
So
we've... Pause for just a second. I actually don't know who those kids are. I literally have no idea who they are.
When Sam does that for us to, like, record intros, I always say something in the middle of him counting down, and so he has to start over. Yeah. And it, yeah, I think it's one of those things where I can just mildly drive him crazy.
Because it's only a minor
inconvenience. Right, that's the thing. It's just a little, like...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey,
we'll do what we can.
Pay attention to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, but you know, since I'm the editor of this thing, you think you'd want to treat me as nice as possible.
Yeah, it's amazing how that doesn't register, though.
No, no, it's
yeah,
it's like you're a kid in the back seat all over again. And, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, or the partner in the passenger
seat. In the passenger seat, yeah.
I sometimes like to pull out Scott's nose hairs while he's driving.
Yeah,
that sounds like tedious. Well, especially while driving, like that seems like a bit of a bumpy.
Yeah, but he can't run.
Yeah, it's true. I can't even, like, move my head too far.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not like I have a lot of nose hairs. It isn't that tedious.
that's the disclaimer for the audience. Scott does not have a lot of nose hairs. You heard it here first.
You can't have slander on this podcast.
Right. Yep. But before we started recording, we were talking about how I felt a little bit bad because it's probably not the most cohesive interview that we've done. I feel like we're a little bit over the place. But I was saying that's because I haven't seen you guys in a year and a half. Yeah. The last time I saw you was in Nashville last year for breakfast at the Omni.
Yeah.
I got oatmeal.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It was really
fancy. I drank a
oatmeal.
Lot of coffee.
I drank so much.
It was a lot of coffee that day.
Yeah, I was shaken by the time I left.
But Hannah, if we can remind you, that was not a very cohesive conversation that morning either. So I don't think it's
I think it has to do with us.
Yeah.
It's us just catching up because
yeah.
My parents have gone to see you without me because they like to leave me behind for things apparently. They did talk about going out to see you in Lakewood and they're like, yeah, we're probably just gonna do it the two of us and leave you at home with the dog. I'm like,
dang.
All right, well, I see how that's going to go. I'm a bit offended. I want to come, too, but, you know.
Man, parents.
But it's like the catching up of, I have not, and there are times where, like, we'll be doing something, and I'll look at my mom and be like, I wish Scott and Mallory were coming around sooner. Like, we haven't seen them in a really long time. I say that all the time, because you guys are just a delight to be around, and you're all, you know, just warm and fun.
That is a nice thing to say.
I'm the first person to say it, too.
Yeah, you got one. I always look at her to get permission to ask a question. You don't have to give me the mic. I always want to make sure that I don't interrupt your flow. I've noticed in talking a lot about your guys' projects, there's always like a cause or a promotion, like the postage one and the unknown lesser known holidays. What other things have you promoted or what other things do you what causes do you find worthy that you have projects planned for in the future?
Sure. Real or imagined causes.
Yeah.
We did this project, actually Dog in This Fight, the song that you seem to like so much, was actually from an album that we did that was written as a soundtrack for a short film that our friend Alyssa Pearson had created, and it was all about post-traumatic stress disorder. Particularly among women exiting the military, although we found that was not a subject that we knew a lot about. It was something that Alyssa had asked of us, and we had to spend a lot of time, you know, sort of well, being empathetic and learning somebody else's story to do that. But as we've been performing that soundtrack, songs from that soundtrack, if we introduce it like that, we've had a lot of people come up to us afterwards and say, I'm actually a vet, or my mom's a vet, or my daughter, or my, you know, my son. And so it's been this really amazing thing where it is a direct impact sort of, EP, mm-hmm. where people are immediately responsive and immediately able to speak back to us in that situation and saying, that actually does represent me in some way, which was kind of a relief, mm-hmm. because when we put it out there, we're like, we don't know anything. Like, we know what it's like to be afraid. We know what it, like, but having to be somebody's voice is really complicated and really scary sometimes. Mm-hmm. But again, we wrote about what we did know, and I think through that came up with a pretty accurate representation, mm-hmm. as far as we know it.
Yeah. Nobody has told us otherwise.
Yeah.
Which is very nice,
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
You know, or when you boil it down, like, you know, there are differences to people's pain. There are differences to people's stories. There are specifics that, like, that we can't just brush over, mm-hmm. but human pain is human pain. Yeah.
And people can tap into that in a way.
Yeah. Very naturally.
Sometimes when we don't introduce it, like when we're in a show and we don't even say, like, this was about, you know, people who were previously in the military, we just sing these songs. People have come up to us and still, like, talk to us about, like, I actually have, like, relational PTSD, and that song really speaks to me, or I have, you know, different things like that. And as they're saying that kind of stuff to me, I go, oh, I do too. That's probably how I wrote that. Like, that's probably how we were able to write that, is because I also have PTSD from different things, like really difficult things, or I also just have pain from these things, and I was able to write from that. And so that is a, like, is a broader topic of, it is a, I guess, a cause, but it is also a even broader subject of humanity.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make a connection.
Yeah. And I think that is our role as songwriters. Other songwriters can really do the political songs, and, like, the social justice songs, and mm-hmm. and they can do them really well, mm-hmm. and more power to them, because we need those songs.
We really need those songs, yeah. for sure. We're not good at them.
We are not. We've tried to write them, but what we have found is that we're able to access our own personal feelings, and you know, and the personal things are the political things, you know. If there weren't personal causes, if there weren't personal stories, there wouldn't be these larger causes, and so our job as songwriters has kind of just been to write what we know, and write, you know, what we understand. And you know, and I think that's something that people can connect with, yeah. on a personal level, but sure. also on a broader level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But outside of that, nothing. We don't care about anything
else. Yeah, we're just, you know, two people with a dog.
We've also taken, like, some of our t-shirts had our dogs on it. We made special t-shirts last year with when we had both of our dogs and had them on there, and all, like, a portion of the proceeds went to the rescue that Puddle came from. And I think anytime we have the opportunity to, whether seriously or not seriously, to be able to kind of funnel into something bigger than ourselves, we try and do it. Because it's fun, and because it's also just something really little that we can do. Like, we're well aware that we're living the dream. Like, sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes life on the road is super hard, of course. Like, you deal with stresses that normal people don't deal with. But I also don't have to deal with, like, the plumbing in a house. And I, you know, like, we choose our stress and what stress we can handle. And we've chosen road stress over owning a house stress, or, mm-hmm. you know, 9-to-5 stress. And so I think it's just, it's fun while we're living the dream to be able to dream with other people. And so we try and do that as much as we can.
Yeah. I have two little questions that I think are going to lead great into plugs. One's not really a question. It's so funny hearing your laugh because I'm so used to hearing it off of the desktop computer during your guys's live broadcast because mom always tunes into them.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'll be walking around the house and all of a sudden I'll just hear Mallory laugh. Are you guys still doing
bottling up her laugh and selling it as a perfume? Yes, we are. Good. Thanks for plugging
that. The next merchandise that needs to be created.
Working on it.
Are you still doing live streams?
So,
so
we took some time off from, so last year we did Double Americana, which was really fun, where we would take an old folk song and we would redo it and perform it once a week on Wednesdays live on Facebook. And then when our new album came out, we took a break from learning old folk songs and decided to learn our own songs because we needed to. Yeah. And we had a series of, there's 13 songs, so we had a series of 13 that we did a live cast just for us. But then we just took a break too. We finished our last song a couple weeks ago from the record, and we've taken a little bit of a break. But we miss it.
We do.
Like, we actually miss the hustle, the late Tuesday night realizing we forgot to do a song, the, you know, waking up the next morning and practicing it real quick, and then remembering that the time zone is different than we thought it was, and so we have to actually be there now. And it was a mess, but it was really fun.
Yeah,
it was a
really fun scramble.
Yeah, like, yeah. So I think we're probably going to dip into that again. It was fun.
I don't know if your second question relates to this at all, but real quick, while we're on the topic of streaming, mm-hmm. I mean, have you guys looked into new media almost always comes up in all of our interviews. Mm-hmm. Have you guys looked into, like live streaming with YouTube or Twitch, both websites that are super huge with streaming, and a lot of people actually run careers through those as well.
Twitch.
It's normally for video games, but lately a lot of people have been hosting podcasts off of it.
Huh.
Not everything there is video game related. But it's a live streaming place. We can talk about it off mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've at this point we've only done Facebook Live, and you know, we do have a YouTube channel. It's mm-hmm. you know, it's active.
Yeah, which last year our YouTube channel kind of served as this place that we would take videos of the songs that we were learning, the covers that we were doing, and we would put them on there for people who just wanted a song only version. Because if you've seen any of our live casts, there's a good 15 minutes where we're doing nothing but talking and nobody really wants to watch that, but we keep doing it. And then we play a song, which people are actually interested in. And then
I would disagree. I think that people on YouTube and Twitch would want to watch that. I would give that a shot.
Yeah.
But it's also a matter of, like, it's almost as much as we can handle, too, because our lifestyle means that we have inconsistent internet at all times. Mm-hmm. And so, as much as our brains could handle, because we were also writing a blog and coming up with a playlist per week, and so it was sort of like, okay, and then we'll just stream it live and then it's over, and then we have to record a song only version and put that on YouTube. So it was like, it ended up being like already a 5 to 7 hour process a week, including then also learning the song. And so technology is such a weird thing for us.
It is, and it's something where we're trying
to embrace it.
We're trying to embrace it. We're also trying not to embrace all of it, and mm-hmm. you know, embrace the stuff. Like, find out what is going to work for us.
What's currently useful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And right now, we still have a lot of people on Facebook, and some fans only on Facebook, because that is the era that we started our band was mm-hmm. like Facebook only mm-hmm. era. So we have Instagram, we have Twitter, we have a YouTube channel, we have a few other things.
My your stomach's just really growling. Going. It's
so
wants to be part of the conversation. You could auto-tune that. That would be great. Yeah.
But we are choosing, because there's a certain point that technology started freaking us out. We were like, oh no, all these bands are getting this certain amount of play on this thing that we haven't even heard of, but this band's doing this. And at a certain point, we just had to say, this is what's working for us right now. when it doesn't work for us anymore, we'll move to something else, or we'll sometimes tamper and, you know, something dab in that. Well, yeah, in that, and then it is a mixed bag. But we physically cannot do, because we do everything else ourselves. We book ourselves, we manage ourselves, we are responsible for all of our social media, we're responsible for our website, we're responsible for learning our songs, for loading in, for getting paid at the end. You know what I mean? Like, we're responsible for so much that it's as much as we can handle. Yeah. Right, Scotty?
At this time.
Can you quiet down your stomach?
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm just...
starving artists. Am I right?
Being able to break for lunch here.
Yeah. I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm getting ready for, as soon as we load out, we're going to find some place to...
Yeah, me, yeah.
Mama needs a snack.
You know, a great pizza place.
How do we edit it out? Is it Vocelli?
No, it is not, actually.
Okay. We passed one, and we'll edit this out, but we passed one, and I had never seen another one outside of Morgantown, which is where I lived last summer, and we drive past, and I just scream, Vocelli, and he's like, what is happening? I don't know. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I didn't know there was more than one. I'm so surprised that out in the middle of nowhere, there's a Vocelli pizza. Huh. I guess we can go ahead and skip my second question, and we'll just lead in to our plugs.
Yeah.
So where can people find you?
I don't know.
First of all, this will... I'm just kidding. I'm not quite sure.
This technology just got so existential.
I'm waiting for the first person to be asked that question and answer, hopefully through this podcast.
Yeah. Where can people find you? This is going to come out in 3 weeks?
Yeah,
2 weeks?
I'll give them an exact date here in a second.
If you've got something big coming up that is after 3 weeks from now?
In 3 weeks.
We do. I'll tell you what's big that's coming up in 3 weeks. Yeah. We're going to be at the Sioux River Folk Festival up in South Dakota.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Up in the first week in August. Actually, August is going to be pretty cool. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Midwest, going back to Kansas. I know that doesn't sound cool when I say it's going to be really cool, we're going to Kansas, but it is actually really cool, and we have some good people.
We have some like 20 shows
booked in August,
which is a lot for us.
Yeah, yeah. If when there's only 30 days. 31 days. in a month. We'll also be in Michigan probably by the time this comes out. And you can always find us at www.theroughandtumble.com.
We're on Spotify, Apple Music, Twitter, Facebook.
Instagram. Your Twitter at The Rough and Tumble?
It's The Rough Tumble is Twitter. Instagram is The Rough and Tumble. Facebook is The Rough and Tumble. We are The Rough and Tumble. Is that good?
Yeah, that was
that,
great.
That's a wrap. I think that's the perfect way to end it.
All right, guys, that does it for this interview. Thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to tune in again next week. We post every single Wednesday. We are available on iTunes, Podomatic, and Google Play Podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram at The Flat Nickel Podcast. Follow us on Facebook at The Flat Nickel Podcast. Make sure to drop us a like, a favorite, a subscribe, a 5-star review wherever you're listening, and we will be sure to get another episode out to you guys next week.